let's go out to the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Joining us now, ESPN MLB Insider, thanks to Lucky Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont, it's Buster Olney. How you doing, Buster?
I'm doing great, although I'm feeling a little bit overwhelmed. You got Hall of Famers coming on the show, and boy, it's tough to live up to that act.
You ever been to Middlebury College, Buster?
No. My older sister doesn't live more than 15 minutes from where you guys are now. But as I tell people all the time, growing up in Randolph Center, we were the most boring family ever. We never went anywhere. We never left the farm. So I've never been to Middlebury College.
Oh, come on. You mean Vermont Law School didn't have a powerhouse sports team?
Even if they had, we wouldn't have done anything because I would have been. My stepfather would have told me to go split some wood.
I love it. All right, Buster, we're going to come out with the hard-hitting stuff. Brady is not here. He had to leave early. So, Alex Cora, he is fired. Warren, were you surprised that the decision came so fast? Yesterday, we didn't know that he was going to get fired. Today, I thought it was going to take a little while. Two, did he deserve it? So, let's start with that, Buster.
Well, I think, and Alex did, I think, push along the conversation because, you know, from talking with sources, he knew that his position was untenable. I mean, once that decision comes down on Monday that, that Jeff Luhnow and of the Astros and A.J. Hinch, the manager of the Astros, were suspended for a year and then the Astros fire them, the writing was on the wall, especially with the fact that Alex, you know, not only was strongly implicated in what the Astros did in 2017, but the fact that MLB is currently investigating what the Red Sox and potentially Alex did in 2018. So from what I understand, you know, he recognized that. It wasn't like he was sitting in his office with the door locked, barring the door and saying, don't come in. I think he realized what was coming and, just talking with a source said that Alex felt like, to some degree, you know, he's kind of going out and, you know, at a time when he understood that, of his own choosing, he, to some degree, just the timing of it. And, you know, guys, he's still in meetings this week. Like, the Red Sox are holding staff meetings this week and getting ready for spring training. And he's spoken to the group and talked to the group and talked about some parts of the team as he prepares to walk out the door.
Wow. I mean, Buster, you obviously know Alex. I mean, you've known him for a while.
Very well.
You've worked him at ESPN. I mean, everybody we've talked to for the last 48 hours is just in utter shock about this. Did you see any inkling at all of this coming?
Well, I thought he was going to get disciplined, but I didn't think that it would be a situation where he would get fired. But once I heard Jim Crane, the owner of the Astros the other day, fire Jeff and fire A.J. Hinch, and I thought the absolutely writing's on the wall. And as we sit here and speak today, everyone's waiting for the Mets to do the same with Carlos Beltran. I don't think they're going to retain him either. I just think, given the nature of what went on and how seriously the serious statement the Major League Baseball is trying to make, I think that all these teams are in a position where they have to move on. I mean, if Alex is, let's say for argument's sake, the Red Sox were to say, we really think Alex Cora is a great manager, we want to hang on to him, they could have been looking at a situation where, he could have a penalty of more than a year, and they're going to sit around and wait for that. That's just it doesn't make any sense. You're not going to see that, professional sports team sit around and wait a year or two for an executive to return in that fashion. I got to say, I mean, you mentioned, I went to college with his brother, Joey. We were both freshmen in the same class at Vanderbilt. So I kind of, been aware of Alex and Joey for a really long time. I've gotten to know Alex. I consider him to be a friend. I absolutely look at his situation with the same sort of wistful sadness that I think you'd have in talking about Shoeless Joe Jackson, where you're talking about one of the great, in Shoeless Joe, one of the great player talents that we've seen. You read anything from his peers talking about his preeminence and how great he was. And because of the Black Sox scandal, he went away. And he's disappeared through history. I think Alex is as talented a manager as I've ever seen. And he works as well as a manager as I've ever seen. And he may never manage the big leagues again.
Wow. Well, Buster, what's next? Who's the next manager? Do you go after somebody young and say, we know there's going to be growing pain, so let's have some young guy take a bunch of L's? Do you get Buck Showalter in, somebody like that, a veteran, and say, you know what, if anybody can be a veteran and somebody knows how to do this, let's get Buck in for another maybe year, two, three, let him take the L or let him try to steer the ship in? Maybe that's the way to go.
I tell you what, I do think that Buck would be a great choice to, you know, to help navigate a franchise with an experienced manager and through an unstable time. Yeah. And, you know, whether it be the Red Sox or the Mets, I think he'd be a great choice for either one of those. I know internally there's a lot of support for Ron Renneke, who's their bench coach. But here's the thing. If, in fact, you know, the Red Sox did something sign-stealing 2018, then you kind of have the same situation with Alex and Ron Renneke that you did with A.J. Hinch and Alex Cora. If the Red Sox were sign-stealing in 2018 and Ron Renneke was the bench coach, then you'd have to be asking questions about whether or not there was some awareness there.
Yeah.
And whether or not, you know, that is some question about, you know, how much he knew and when he knew it and all those things. And so, you know, one of the other things I thought about today, Chaim Bloom, who, of course, heads up baseball operations now for the Red Sox, he came from the Tampa Bay Rays. I think that based on the agreement that he had with the Rays when he left, that he can't go back to the Rays and say, hey, I like this coach or I like this minor league manager. I think there was an understanding when he left the Rays that you know, he could only take X number of people, and that quota has already been met.
What about Dave Dombrowski? I mean, does he take any fall at all for this, despite the fact that he's out of town?
Well, there are going to be natural questions about it, and I'm sure baseball will be investigating it. I do think the investigation will be much more accelerated because, let's face it, guys, based on the decision that the commissioner gave the other day with, you know, two players getting kicked out of the sport for a year, Alex probably Cora facing the similar type discipline moving forward, I got to believe that when the phone call comes to a staffer or a player who's on the 2018 Red Sox, they're going to throw their hands up in the air and say, I surrender. I surrender. What do you need to know? And I think that, you know, that dynamic will help move along the investigation. And, you know, so I think it'll move much more quickly, and probably that'll have an impact on how quickly they move on the manager.
Buster, the players, are they just as guilty? Are we letting them off the hook? Are they just as guilty as, let's say, putting too much pine tar on a bat or having tennis balls inside a bat for it to be hollow? I don't know. Any way that you get Phil Niekro, Gaylord Perry, or is it like that? What about the players?
Yeah, it was very interesting to hear the reaction of folks around the game after the penalties came down the other day. First off, there was a lot of sentiment in the sport that the penalties weren't nearly hard enough. That the Astros got off, the Astros organization got off easy. Two individuals, Jeff Luhnow, he lost his job, and A.J. Hinch lost his job, and there was a $5 million fine at the Astros. But as one staffer pointed out to me, A.J. and Luhnow make more than $5 million combined.
Yeah.
So there's already savings for the Astros financially, even with that fine in place over what they were paying before. So that, you know, no impact with the fine. There was also a lot of anger over the fact that they were just had draft picks stripped because, guys, Astros pick at the back of the first round. You know, they're one of the preeminent teams right now, so that's not a very big hit. There was a lot of surprise around the game that the commissioner didn't take away international signing money, you know, to go after players overseas. That's what they did with the Atlanta Braves. I think as part of their reaction I got from folks with other teams, they really feel like, to some degree, that the players, more should have been done to them. But here's the complication for the commissioner's office is the union. Like, did they want to spend all summer in arbitration, with a grievance hearing with all the individual members of the Astros, and then on top of that, you'd have to spend a lot of time trying to prove which players benefited the most? But I'd say this. Even though the players and the Astros didn't get any penalties, I think that this summer and moving forward, every time they walk on a field in a visiting ballpark, it's going to be like a perp walk for those guys.
They're going to get hammered.
And I, you know, knowing Alex and knowing A.J. Hinch and knowing so many of the players on that team, how many smart people they are, I'm still somewhat shocked that they didn't figure out what they had at risk when they were doing this, that if, in fact, they would be caught, and the secret that was known by about 50 people in their traveling party didn't hold, that they would all pay a price for a long period of time, because let's face it, no matter what Jose Altuve does, no matter what George Springer does, or fill in the blank, any guys on those teams, every time they have an accomplishment, some of the reaction from fans is going to be, oh yeah, well, you guys cheated. It's exactly what happened in the steroid era, and that's the legacy that's going to fall around these players. And it's really, from their perspective, some of it might not be fair, but that's the way it is, and they earned it.
Buster, speaking of the players, how does this affect the Red Sox on the field? I mean, is Mookie Betts going to say, I'm out, I don't want anything to do with this? And I mean, are they now out of luck with future free agents who don't want anything to do with this current mess they're in?
No, I don't think so. Alex is, as I say, he's as talented a manager as I've ever seen. And I'm sure that, in some respects, that Alex might have been a closer in a negotiation with Mookie. He might have been the guy to call them and reach out, hey, what is it going to take, that sort of thing. And that's not going to be available to the Red Sox anymore. But I think Mookie ultimately is going to wind up signing where he gets the biggest contract. I don't think that's going to have any bearing. I don't think the free agency will be affected by it. I do think for the next couple of years, it's not going to be as attractive of a place, because it certainly looks like as the Red Sox get their payroll in order and make some adjustments, and the Yankees are so dominant that, it is going to be sort of a period of resetting for Boston. It may not make them quite as attractive.
You know, Buster, just like people say Jose Canseco is the one that really broke open the story about the PEDs, is Mike Fiers the guy that's broken open this story? Are there going to be more guys like him coming out and telling us what was going on?
Yeah, and I wrote a column yesterday about this, and I listed all the, the points of damage that were done. And I think Mike Fiers is one of those who, suffered through this. And I know that, believe me, in baseball, there are a lot of players whispering, I can't believe he turned in his teammates, and that's not right. And my feeling is, how about those players look themselves in the eye and say, you know what? We put Mike Fiers in this position. We were doing things that, that were illicit, and everybody knew were illicit, and we put teammates in a position where they had to either look the other way or, have to make a difficult choice about doing the right thing. But there's no question within the game, there's a lot of debate about the choice that Mike Fiers made, and speaking openly about it with The Athletic, I think those players who ask that question should ask questions of themselves.
Good point.
And before we let you go, the big story, of course, there's going to be a Buster Olney sign, sighting and perhaps signing if the autograph hounds show up a week from Saturday, 10 more days. You loved it so much last year, you're coming back, the 2020 Lake Monsters Winter Warmer. What can you tell us?
Yep, and we're going to have Boog Sciambi, play-by-play man for ESPN. Has great stories, a great voice. We call him the legend on the podcast that I do. And Galen Carr, who's director of player personnel for the Dodgers. He lives in Burlington. He was there last year. He's got great stories. I know we'll be talking a lot about sign stealing, about Alex Cora, about all these issues that are going on. A week from Saturday, and I'm really looking forward to it again.
Yeah. Does this worry you for the game? I mean, obviously it worries you as somebody who's involved as heavily as any human being could be in baseball. But, just as a Sox fan and a fan of baseball, I just cringe at all of this. I really do, too.
And I tell you why, because, and it was, if you go back to 1919, when Kennesaw Mountain Landis, took over baseball as a commissioner after the Black Sox scandal, one of the reasons why he threw out all his players, the primary reason why was because he knew he had to restore the integrity of the game, because he didn't want fans to be wondering if what they saw was real or was it something else. Well, part of, I think, the damage that was done by what the Astros did, what the Red Sox potentially did in 2018, is that it leaves questions, leaves doubt about what was real. Did the Dodgers lose because the Astros were these phenomenal hitters who put together a great combat, comeback, or was the fix in that whole time? Were the Red Sox, dominant because you had this great esprit de corps and these players led by Alex Cora, or did they have a competitive advantage? you know, was it effectively them having the, you know, the roll of quarters in their gloves when they were landing haymakers?
Yeah.
And that's not a good thing for baseball right now, especially when they're trying to attract a new generation of fans.
Amen to that. He's Buster Olney, ESPN MLB Insider. Thanks to Lucky's Trailer Sales and Peterbilt of Vermont. Buster, you're the best. Thank you, and we'll speak to you next week, my friend.
That sounds great, guys. Take care.
Take care.
Buster
Olney, everybody.